What's going on? I think my camera went off. Welcome to another episode of the Impel Fort Podcast. So today I got with me my co-host. Introduce yourself. They might already know you. They should.
As you know, I'm Renee, co-host here on Impel Forward. And we got another guest, which is my first time actually meeting this guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I know. It's nice to meet you too, Renee. My name is Larry. I work for the Modified Gentleman. It's just a concept of helping men become better men and working through their challenges, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to get into all that. But first, I want to tell the people, the audience out here, who's ever listening. First one, I want to talk about investing. Now, I don't get no compensation from this company, but
I've been turning a lot of people on.
No, I'm not sponsored. Maybe one day I will be. I've been trying to turn a lot of people on to Stash. The Stash app.
Okay.
It was ways to invest. Renee, you don't know about Stash? You know about Stash?
I do, actually.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. So I'm trying to turn people on to it. You know, a lot of times we as Black people, we talk about we've been left behind, which we have. We had a late start, which we have. And I find out that a lot of people don't know about investing. And I turn a lot of people on. And the last couple days and weeks, my Stash account has been doing some good things.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't you give people some pointers? I'll tell you what I invested in, and you go ahead and
tell me. I'm going to give you one.
Okay.
NVIDIA. It's a chip company.
That came out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a chip company. If y'all look at their numbers, it's been doing some things. I'm up maybe 152% in NVIDIA right now. Now, that doesn't say much. That's not going to tell you how much I put in there.
Right. Don't do that.
Yeah. But I'm up 152%.
Well, I think it's good to kind of let the people know, especially, you know, people that are new to investing or they want to get into investing. Mm-hmm. You know, is it realistic to the average 9-to-5 person who, you know, may have a little bit of money to kind of, free money to kind of play around with? You know, what if they have $100 or $200? What should they look for if they want to get into investing so that they can, you know, multiply their money?
Yeah, but a lot of people they don't trust it, and some people even look at it as gambling, which is not gambling. Definitely not gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And let me add a little, I guess, tidbit on that. I think for some people, it's got to start with a goal, like some type of plan. Like, why are they investing?
Right.
And I think it kind of goes two different ways. You can just invest just to do it. You don't even have to have a goal down the line. But investing is a positive thing. Some people, they're just like, they already have it worked out that, okay, I want to buy a car. I want to buy a house. I want to take a vacation. So I'm going to save up money. I want to invest, you know, and have that nest egg saved up so they can live a fruitful retirement, if you want to put it that way. So I think the main thing is talking to a person and finding out, okay, why? You know, what do you want to do? What are your plans for? Because if you don't, you're not going to do it.
Right. You
know, there's a lot of people who want to lose weight and they got workout plans, but they don't have the goal of the long game in mind. Mm-hmm. They don't want to work out for their health or to lose weight, even though they have all the tools. You know, so it's you got to establish the mindset first of, OK, why you want to do this, you know, and then stick with it. And I think that helps people out. That helps people out more along the way, breaking down your goal into chunks, more manageable chunks. And just like investing, it's like, OK, you want to save for a rainy day, but do you even have emergency funds saved up? You know,
right.
You got to break down little things like that. Like, you know,
but the good thing about
A lot of people are not even going to survive if the alternator goes out, if the transmission goes out right now, you know?
So the good thing about investing in the apps, though, you can still put away some for a rainy day.
Yes.
Invest at the same time. With Stash, you don't have, say like Apple is $187. It's somewhere around there right now. Don't quote me. Yeah. But you don't have to buy a whole share.
Right.
You can put
$50.
Buy a fraction. Yeah, you can buy a fraction. You can have,
I think that's good.
$5
that's good.
A day coming out. You can have $5 a week coming out if you want to. You can do $5 a month. Yeah. And just in me investing in NVIDIA, I didn't realize how much I had put in there with just $5 a week coming out of there.
Wow. See? See, that's and that's cool. what I'm talking about. That's right. the everyday person who may not have a lot of disposable income to be yeah. able to invest a large lump sum, right? Exactly.
Are you doing that automatically?
Oh, yes, like automatically. $5 a week.
Boom, boom, boom.
Coming yeah. out.
That's even yeah. better. Because when you can invest without thinking about it, you know, you can take out the brain work and it just works on its own. That just helps so much more. And I guess Stash does that so much better.
But if you have, I mean, you can put more in there. You can put $100 a week, $200, whatever you have to put in there. You yeah. can put $2 in there a week if you want to. $2 a month, however you want to do it. But that's the yeah. thing. So anybody who's interested, look in the description. I have my link down there. Click on my link.
That's what's up.
Go ahead. I might even use your link on a different using a different email, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't really say that, but I think that that's an amazing thing. One thing all of my friends can vouch for me and say, I like to see my money.
I like to see my money.
I spend money, right? But I'm also a great saver. I'm also, to me, I would like to say I'm a good investor. Yeah. I am not the friend that says, "Hey, let's go out to eat throughout the week." I like to see my money, if you know what I mean. So instead of buying food or whatever, I may buy something because I like the longevity of where my money is. So if I want to buy a purse, then I'm going to buy that purse because I'm going to get my cost per wear out of that. Out of food, I'm just, you know, I'm going out to eat. It's an hour, you know, it's gone. My money is gone and I no longer can see it the next day. You know what I mean? So that doesn't work for me. I like to see my money. Stash is great. I will use your link. I also use Start Engine. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Start Engine.
I've never heard of that.
So Start Engine it's kind of where a lot of companies or newer companies go and they kind of they'll have a business, right? Or they'll say, "Hey, we want to start up a business," and it tells you all about that particular business and you can add money to it, right? So they'll say, well, one of my friends, he told me about it a long time ago, and it was at the airport. What is it? Clear. So Clear was originally created by a Black woman. And so she went on Start Engine, and she is the one who kind of talked about it, her invention, and what was it for, and the use of it. And she asked people to put money into it, right? And so once she got enough money, because there's a goal, right? They give you, I need to make $5 million, right? You put into it, right? You put money into it. Once she sells it, or if the business, you know, someone purchases it or whatever, you get that money back plus.
Okay.
So you get it back. So
look into that.
Start Engine is just a whole bunch of investors looking for buyers. So recently, well, a couple of weeks ago, Mystic Farms, I don't know if you guys are familiar. If you don't drink alcohol, that's fine. But it's a distillery here. It's here in North Carolina. Always, you know it. They were looking for investors. So, you know, you go in there, they tell you about the business, what they're trying to do with that business. And they're currently in the ABC store, right? But they're trying to broaden their, you know, horizon and make it, you know, worldwide. And so they asked for people to invest into their business so you can buy shares. Of course, there is a minimum. So some other businesses, you can start with a smaller minimum. I'm not going to go into it. You can go into Start Engine and see what they're asking for. But I'll throw it out there. The minimum is 500 shares, right? So that's what they're asking for. Of course, you can buy more than that at the time, but that's what they're asking the minimum to be. And then, of course, once someone buys it or they go global or what have you, you will get your money back plus. Or you can leave it in there and continue to reap off the benefits of that of Mystic Farms Distillery. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can go and look at smaller, just all different investors in Start Engine. But that's where I got it from, was a guy friend of mine. He invested in Clear and, you know, was paid a lot of money off of that. Okay. So
now that's another thing too, as far as investing, like pros and cons, like you got to do your due diligence. You got to really do the research because a lot of people get caught up into the hype of, oh, do this now while the time is hot, strike while the iron is hot, but they don't know how to do the real research behind what they're investing in. and they get caught up and they lose all their money. But you know, you gotta it's with anything you do, you gotta study it, you know.
Yeah, you no doubt. I got caught up in Robin Hood during the pandemic, you know. Oh. I bought Carnival, I bought American, I bought Spirit,
I bought the airlines, all that.
I mean, all of that, all of that. Yeah. What is it, Snapchat and Twitter? All I mean, yeah, all of that. All
but
of
see,
that.
That's the thing when for the people who's listening, if you don't know what companies to buy, buy the well, I'm not no financial advisor. You ain't got to listen to me.
Neither am I.
But you can take a little bit of advice.
Yeah.
Invest in companies that you know, Facebook, Microsoft, Nvidia, AMD, to Home Depot, Lowe's, good companies that you know that has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then just start right there, or you can just do index fund and just do your research.
Right.
Yeah. Any questions, though, you can come and ask me. I'm going to just show you. I'm going to show you what I'm doing. I'm not a financial advisor, but I'll show you what I'm doing and I'll help you with it. So definitely, click that stash link.
Tell people look around the house and look at a lot of things that they use, that they buy. And that's, you know, Procter and Gamble got a lot of stuff.
Now, this is one thing. This is one thing I'm going to say. For all them Apple folks who's always talking about people with Verizon who have droids right here.
Yeah.
Apple folks. I know a lot of people who love Apple, the Apple cult, but don't have any stock in Apple. Don't have any stock in Apple.
Watch your mouth.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? You pay money for Apple iPhones and Macs, and y'all swear by the AirPods, buy you some stock in Apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's all I want to say.
Hey, I'm with you on that. I agree.
The cult.
I agree.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So Renee, what you brought up something about karma early in our discussion.
I did.
You got on the scene. What are you talking about?
So switching subjects, of course, you know, we're going to go into he said, she said, right? So I don't know if you guys are aware of this whole Gail Lewis situation on that kind of went through or kind of, it was a firestorm through the internet on Instagram. So little backstory, I'm not going to go into all of the details. It was a woman who showed a video of her catching her husband at the airport with another woman.
Oh, Lord, you about to get in trouble.
Go right?
At the airport.
At the airport. So how it happened was, is she, you know, she called her husband, I guess he's a CEO somewhere, you know, for a major company. Mm. And he would travel a lot. And so she wanted to know when he would be back home, right? So she called the airlines. She had the flight number, wanted to see when he was going to land. And the guy that the customer service representative that she spoke with asked her, what's the flight number? And she's like, gives the flight number and asks, what's his name? And she's like, well, why do you need his name? Mm. And so she's like, you know, getting defensive, like, you asking too much of my business. And he's like, what's your husband's name, right? So she ends up telling him, and then he tells her, oh, Mr. Lewis and the other woman flight already landed.
Yeah.
So she's like,
whoa,
who is that? You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he gets home. She, you know, probably thinking just like, you know, when your husband travels, he's at a certain level. You think, okay, well, maybe that's one of his coworkers, whatever.
Okay. Okay. You know what? I can see that.
He gets home and she asks and he kind of blows it off. Like, I don't really know who you're talking about, whatever. And she's like, okay. She says she saw some credit card bills on the table. And, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom. So, you know, she doesn't have to work or anything.
You sent me that, right?
Yeah, she doesn't pay any bills or anything. So she, you know, she shops, he pays the bills. So there's really no need for her to look at the credit card statements if she's not paying them. But she said one night she woke up and, you know, something told her, look at those credit card statements, because she is also on the credit cards, or it was her credit card statement. Yeah. The credit card was in her name and possibly in his name, too, I'm assuming. And so she looked, finally opened the statement, and she's seen all of the, listen, American Express will tell all your business. If you're trying to creep with somebody, American Express is not the card that you want to play around with, because they will tell all your business. And I have a story of that. So it listed out all of the flights and it lists who the travelers are on that flight on the statement.
Oh.
So she then, that then piqued her interest to go keep digging back and back and come to find out that he has been going on trips and seeing this woman for years, since 2019.
Oh, wow.
Right? So, you know, trips where she asked him like, hey, I'll travel with you. And he would make the excuse, oh no, I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be in meetings all day. There's really no reason for you to go, but he was in another country or whatever with this woman. Right. So this kind of all blows up on social media because she started digging, you find more information. And then eventually down the line, he admitted that, you know, he had been seeing this woman. And so she's like, do you want to get a divorce? And he's like, you're not going to mess up my money. Like keeper to keeper type situation. But I want both of y'all. So then he tells her, well, let's break up and cool off for about 6 months. But if you find somebody else during that 6 months, hint, hint, like, then, you know, it's okay. And then I'm going to continue to be with this woman. So they start, you know, she started blasting her on the internet.
The wife was blasting the mistress.
The wife was blasting her. And so the mistress was responding. So she responded with a little tidbit of information that the wife didn't quite tell everybody prior to her, you know, introducing the world to this situation. I guess the wife, when the wife met the husband or her husband, he was married too at the time.
Wait a minute, who was married? The
guy was married to somebody else at the time, the wife, the now wife.
Met him. You mean like a previous marriage? We doing backstory.
Previous marriage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did a lot of research, Amy.
He was telling her that, you know, it's not good. I don't really love her. You know, he pursued her. When she found out, she said when she found out he was married, she was like, no. But he kept pursuing her, sending her diamond earrings and flowers and just heavily pursuing her. And he told her, and she was like, I'm not going to do it until you get a divorce. They still went on a couple dates or whatever. Allegedly, she didn't sleep with him until he was officially, you know, divorced or separated or whatever.
So
the mistress says, well, you met him just like how I met him. So,
why are
you mad? So this goes to my question. Is there a statute of limitation on karma? Because now the situation has changed. We were riding with Miss Gail, right? It was like we riding at dawn on this man. Now it's like, whoa, you did the same thing. Although you were married to him for 28 years, you know, a lot of people are saying how you get him is how you lose him.
Oh, you saying karma came back on her? That's what you're saying.
So I'm saying, does karma have a statute of limitation? Because it's like 28 years. Wow.
Yo. You know,
this comes back up.
Oh my God.
Are you believing in karma?
Personally, I don't. I don't believe in karma because I think stuff just happens, man. Good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. However, I do think like if you're on a course of you have a habit of doing bad stuff, then you should expect bad stuff is going to continue happening to you too. Mm-hmm. And I know when people are doing good things that, you know, eventually they're going to get a big break of something phenomenally good that's going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. So I just think the type of person that you are and the path that you walk, then you're going to continue seeing the same patterns. And so if you walk in a treacherous, scandalous life, like things are going to hit you, even though like the wife was Gail Lewis. I'm not really familiar with her, but the story, type of story is common.
Right.
Type of infidelities, you know,
mm-hmm.
but. And I think that you said it exactly the way it is. Like she lost him the way that she got him. I forgot how you worded it, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The type of person that he was is the problem. It wasn't really her. It's him. Like she knew he was cheating when she met him. He didn't change. 28 years. What do you say? 26, 28 years?
28 years. So 28 years later, now he's, you know.
But he's still doing the same thing. He's still walking that treacherous, scandalous path. And I think she became collateral damage out of that. That's what that was. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Because he could have, you know, wised up, matured, been a man about it. Or he could have came to her and be like, hey, I'm not in love like I used to be. I think we need to go our separate ways. And he still would have been fine. But no, he didn't man up to it. and she caught a couple of ricochets.
He could have told her that, and
yeah, he could have told her.
You might have told her that.
Yeah,
I think newer things are coming out now. Now they're going through the divorce process. Of course, there's no prenup, right? He took care of her. He made millions, and you know, I have a friend who he was either a CEO or a CFO at one of my prior employers, and she remembered him and you know how flossy he was when he was at work and would come in with the Bentleys and you know different Bentleys and
working with people that drive Bentleys.
Huh?
You working with people that drive Bentleys?
Let's not do that. That's one of my prior employers. Friends who remembered that he used to work there. He was, you know, in a high level executive position there too.
Right.
And, you know, he was a little bit different.
Yeah.
But again, kind of like what Larry said, you know, she was collateral damage and it just took 28 years for her to really see that. You know, a lot of times, you know, even including myself with women, right? You might meet a guy and they say, you know, I'm divorced or, you know, back in the day I was a cheater or whatever. Sometimes as women feel like we can change a man or we're different from the women that he used to deal with previously. And we want to be that different woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
we end up in that same position.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think a lot of women have a nurturing spirit,
right? You know,
a nurturing type of energy. And so women can be attracted to wounded birds, if that makes sense. You know, they see a man who's dealing with something, who's going through something, whether it be socially, emotionally, in his marriage or whatever. And they're like, hey, you know, I can be a companion. I can help you. Just talk to me type of thing. But it all depends on if that man is being right. If that man is being up front, you know, if he's mature enough. And sometimes it took her 20 some odd years to see that he wasn't. The whole time, you know, and it sucks to be honest with you, because that's a lot of time, energy, and effort that you invest into that.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes people with money, you forget, or you don't forget. Sometimes it's in your face, but you tend to, you know, ignore it to keep the lifestyle.
Well, so that's about 20 years.
Prenup, right? Well, post nup. Post nup, like prenup. There's a post.
You said, is there a post? No, I've never heard of that.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure there is. If there's a change within the marriage, right?
I just recently found that out.
Like if you didn't have kids in the beginning and, you know, maybe, you know, and then you get pregnant afterwards, there could be a postnup where, you know, certain situations happen. In their situation, he has nothing. There's no prenup and she never worked and he was the breadwinner. And did all the things. So that's going to be a real crazy.
Hey, you did a whole investment on this thing.
You said what?
Invested. It was good. I told you I was invested. I was riding with Gail until I heard that. And I was like, oh. Okay.
So how do you feel about Gail, though? Like, that has that changed your perspective of her?
Like, no, do you think not that really.
She took a
not
hit?
Really. Because it's like, okay, that happened, right? She met him, whatever. But at the end of the day, one, she's a woman. Two, she was a wife. It's like she was married to this man. She committed to this man. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the pictures when she met him before to where he is now, you could tell there was some sort of glow up. So I'm sure she, you know, added to that. She took care of the home. I feel bad for her. You know, me being a woman, that sucks. But at the end,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I agree. I think
hopefully she'll win, you know, and I'm pretty sure he's embarrassed. He's an executive at a company, you know, the group chats or the team chats is probably lit up as soon as he come in the door, you know.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know.
You rooting for her, even though she did the same thing and now is in that same
way. I'm rooting for her because, you know, being a woman, I empathize with her heartbreak and her embarrassment.
No.
I don't think that she did anything wrong because she was following his lead in the beginning when they met, because she was like, okay, I know you're married, but did he tell her like they were separated or something? Like they were
I'm not with her or we're getting a divorce, you know, the things.
But
she
I mean,
didn't
I
find
it,
out like, in the beginning, she found out, you know, kind of later, like I think a date or two later that he was married. And, you know, she's like, nah, I don't want to deal with it. And then he started wooing her with, you know.
He started off foul.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But y'all don't ever know everybody's situation, though.
Let me ask you this, being men, do you think, you know, you think he should have told her and been upfront and honest with her on the first date?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You said, why
do you think men don't, though?
So why not?
Because it's a number of factors. Them having some type of entitlement, mm-hmm. in some regards of thinking that, they can get whatever they want, whoever they want. That's not every man, but I know a lot of men just love the chase. You know, they want to see if they still got it, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they know damn well they got a wife at the house, and they're still out there.
Whether it's men or women, both should be up front, regardless when they first meet, and then whatever it is after that, that's what it is.
I think for the most part, man, a lot of people are dealing with stuff at home, and it becomes an escape.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it becomes, you know. I can confide in another person. I can talk to another person. They're missing something at home that they can get outside of the home. And it shouldn't work that way. Well, they shouldn't handle it that way. You should take care of your stuff at home first before you go out. That's like, if I have something going on in my relationship, I don't talk about it to people outside of my relationship. Because that's how you get bad advice. That's how you get people inside of your business that are telling you things that are not good for your relationship, that are not good mm-hmm. for your situation, because they're not in your situation. And they might just be biased. If they're your friends, right. They're going to tell you, they're going to be on your side. You know, unless you have somebody that's going to tell you like it is.
Yeah, accountability. Really.
So do you have that accountability person that you can confide in?
I have a lot of them.
I do. I just know myself so much better now than I did 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know the proper communication avenues within my relationship to where I don't have to go look for outside advice, type of thing. You know?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That goes with self-awareness, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just handle it in-house, you know?
So both of y'all are single, right?
Yeah.
Dating.
No, I'm going with dating, but both of y'all date, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all be honest in the beginning of y'all dating relationship.
Yes. Right? Yes.
What do you mean? Honest. What do you mean?
Telling everything, whatever somebody asks or what they should know or need to know.
Right. Well, I do. Yeah, of course.
One to kind of like throw everything out on the first date, right? Okay. I'm a true Aquarius, and if you know what a true Aquarius is, we're gonna hold things in until we start trusting you a little bit. And the first date, we're still getting to know each other. The second date, I mean, I'm gonna keep it very surface until I trust you.
Yeah, but I mean, there are certain questions that, you know, need to be asked up front, like, are you currently married? Are you dating someone? Yeah. You know, like,
to me, those are, I mean, of course they're important. I deem them at surface level, because I wouldn't be pursuing you if I had a situation at home, right?
Yes. Right.
So, you know, if I'm entertaining you, we're having conversations, I think that's important to let someone know. I always ask the question, which men are like really taken aback when I ask, is someone in love with you right now? Because I think that's very important.
It's the way you word it.
Wait a minute. You ask him, is someone in love with you?
Is someone in love with you right now? Or is someone interested in you right now? You may not be in love or interested in that person, but is someone in love with you right now? Because I think that's very important. I don't want to go out to dinner with you and then all of a sudden some woman pop up and, you know, the situation turns very different. So I want to know.
That's a tough question.
Is someone in love with you right now?
But why don't you ask them if they are in love with somebody? I can't be I can't be in control of somebody else's in love
right now.
You can, I mean, and sometimes I've gotten, you know, well, I would, you know, just stop talking to someone and they may or may not still, you know, love me, or I know that they still care about me. It's just things that I want to know. But I think that question leads me into other questions. Then
you know,
men start opening up and it's like, well, yeah, you know, I still care about her deeply, but I ain't, you know, I can't be with her. But and it's like, okay.
So how was your Valentine's Day? Did you go out for Valentine's Day? Did you have a date?
Yeah, my business. No, wait,
never mind. I don't want to get you no.
No, I'm gonna be really honest. So I celebrated Galentine's Day on Sunday with me and my girls, right? So I co-hosted. It was really cool. It was maybe about 15 of us. So we rented out a, we took pictures. It was really cool. We rented out wine and design and carry. And, you know, I had a bar, my friend who has a mobile bar tending business. I commissioned her to set up, create a Galentine's Day drink. And she had a full setup and, you know, we painted and we did prompts on questions because some people are in relationships in my friend group. Some of them are not. So, you know, we, instead of catering it around like relationships, we catered it around friendships. So we asked questions about how did you meet this person or what's one thing that you've always known about this person? So just about friends, because it was a mixed crowd, right? That they probably seen each other in passing or we've gotten together at one point in time, but no, everybody didn't really know everyone. So we kind of asked questions to kind of get everybody comfortable and familiar. And I think, you know, great music, we had gift bags and snacks. So we did that. And then we all had dinner and celebrated another friend's birthday at the same time. So it was like a full day of events. Nice. Now, Valentine's Day is a little tricky for me. I'm not really one for it. I've been traumatized by Valentine's Day.
What do you mean by that?
I'm not going to lie. I was in a relationship. This is when I wasn't here. And this is when I'm originally from Portland, Oregon. Larry, I don't know if you know.
Okay, cool.
So my previous fiance, he ruined it. One time, it was like no
problem. Wait. You was engaged
twice. Yes.
All right.
So one time in Oregon, and then one time when I first moved here to someone. They both will remain nameless. He purchased me Valentine's Day balloons and Easter candy, and then got mad because I didn't understand. I said, well, what is this? And he was like, well, they were in the same area at the store.
Well, where did he get the Easter candy from? Easter a couple months later.
Well, you know, if you go to Target now, like when it's Valentine's Day, closer to Valentine's Day, they bring out the Easter stuff. So you go to a store right now, you are going to see Easter stuff and Valentine's. But when I tell you I was so livid, and then he got mad and called me unappreciative.
You're multitasking.
Multitasking. He could have got me Easter. So you saying he should have got me Valentine's Day balloons and an Easter basket? Like, what was that?
That would have been nice.
No. So I've been traumatized from Valentine's Day ever since.
That was missing the mark, for real.
That was missing the mark. And I've just been traumatized. Then, you know, another guy I dated Valentine's Day. It was like, I don't know if it's the florist who got it wrong, but they delivered the flowers to my job and it had like a happy birthday balloon in it.
Hmm. For Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's all they had.
When your birthday? January, right?
Right.
So you just kind of got it mixed up. You canceling for that?
At least it wasn't get well soon balloons. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. That is very true. But it was, you know, and so it just hasn't been quite right for me.
You're going to recover.
I don't know. I get a little weird towards Valentine's Day. And, you know, I may not be the most responsive to text messages and phone calls around because it's like.
Need a minute.
Well, yeah. What about you, Larry? You had a date?
Yeah, I had a wonderful time, man. I set up a nice evening with someone special.
Okay.
Nice dinner. I did what I did. I'm not gonna get into specifics, but yeah,
you know, I thought you might be funny and say you set up something by yourself.
Hey, you know what? I would not have been wrong for that too, because let's be honest, like for Valentine's Day, a lot of people spend a lot of time and energy in loving somebody else, but they don't love themselves. And so, you know, just be real about it. A lot of people need to show more self-love. Take yourself out to dinner. Why not? Get dressed. Go buy a $40 plate somewhere and enjoy the hell out of that dinner. You know?
I don't know. Just like today.
I know many people that would spend so much money on going out on a date but wouldn't do it for themselves. That's crazy to me. That's crazy.
I mean, not saying that they wouldn't. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. Valentine's Day. I have some friends that they participate in. They've done that. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, other friends who, you know, don't. I mean, I'm all about self-love and care. I pride myself on that. I did have somebody ask me, like, hey, let's go out on Thursday. That's when you mm-hmm. texted me. We were talking about it, Leon. And I was like, not doing it. You're not taking me out on Thursday. And he had a valid reason, right?
I mean, he wanted to take you out on Thursday, the day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, he had a valid reason. And I mean, to be honest, we've only like chatted, you know, on Facebook a few times. You know, we text a few times. So it would really be like the first official date of us going out, because we made plans and then for whatever reason it didn't happen. So it's like, okay, when's the next time, you know, you're free? He has kids. He's a very involved father, which I love, right? And he was like, I'm free on Thursday. I'm like, nah, bruh. Mm-mm. And his reasoning, and he was like, why? I was like, man, it's National Side Chick Day. You are not, I'm not restaurant with you.
Cut it out.
Thursday. I'm not doing it. Even though he was like, yo, you know, my kids, they don't have basketball practice. You know, like I said, he's a very involved father. His kids play basketball, football, all the things. They're, you know, he has a couple of them. So he's, you know, picking the kids up from school. So valid. He's like, Thursday is my free date this week. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have. And I was like, nah, not doing it. You're going to have the waitress looking at me crazy.
So this not going to be no long lasting relationship.
Who knows? Oh my God. Who knows? We may.
You think you can handle that? A man with kids? He already showing you now. He gonna be here and there.
Hey, that's a whole different subject right there.
I don't mind a man with kids as long as you taking care of your kids. If you don't take care of your kids, or it's like, oh, the baby mom didn't, you know, won't let me see the kid, and you're not taking care of him. Nah.
That's a red flag.
You're an active father. I don't mind that, because again, I'm used to being, you know, not by myself. I'm used to doing my own thing. So if he's an active father and he's with his kid at basketball games and doing all the things with his child, I don't mind that, because that gives me a lot of free time. Now, somebody who doesn't have kids, then I, you know, may not have a lot of friends or other distractions. That's where I'm concerned, because it's like, bruh, you got to do something, because I got friends.
Do you have any children?
I don't.
Okay. All right. That's a big difference between getting to know each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't mind a man that has, you know, kids or friends or distractions, because he can go out and do that. I can go out with my friends, and then, you know, we can get together and when we both have time. But somebody who doesn't, and I've dated a man who didn't have friends, and there's nothing that becomes of that at all.
You said he didn't have friends?
He didn't have friends. He had kids, but they were older. So, you know, they didn't really want to be around, but he didn't really have no friends. Like, I was his friend. And it's like, I got friends. Like,
you're supposed to be his friend.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm his friend, but I don't want you, you know, tagging along with me and my own girls. Like, you, if we get into an argument, who are you going to vent to? Or who are you, you know what I mean? Like, No, I can't be with a man's everything. Like, I don't want that.
You his safe space.
I can be that, but not every, like, I don't need you up under me every day. I wouldn't no. You wouldn't want that, right? Or would
I mean, I don't know. I'm a hybrid. I'm a homebody and I like to get out and do stuff. So, but I would love for my woman to match me in that type of regards. You know, I love for her to match me personally and professionally. You know, she has professional drive as me. She has a personal drive as me. Mm-hmm. And we can go and do things together. I don't care if we're up under each other. I'm okay with that.
We can definitely do things. We can travel together. You know, I love to travel. listen, you got to have the means to be able to travel if you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, you got to have the means.
You got to have the means to be sure. able to travel, right?
Well, we already know you work with people that drive Bentley, so you
anyways,
you means to travel.
You got to, I mean, those are the things, and have fun, but I'm going to be outside.
Hey, I'm with that.
I'm outside. I mean, I have friends and I have homegirls. It's not like I'm doing anything. We will essentially go and, you know, hang out, may listen to music or do whatever, but I don't, then I turn around and you here? It's five of my homegirls and it's you. Like, what are we doing?
Okay, but look, maybe this kind of segues back to our original story of why Ms. Gail Lewis' husband went out there and did what he did, because maybe she didn't do the things that he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm just saying like it could be factored in that, okay, maybe she doesn't want to, you know, go out there and travel as much as he does or go visit things or whatever the case.
That's true. I didn't add a small part. The mistress is younger than the wife. Mm.
Yeah, they kind of look alike.
Yeah, I can't say nothing about
that.
They
do kind of look alike. They do
kind of look alike.
He has a type.
So you're saying he got a type. He has a type.
He has a type.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
is this Gail, she's just somebody who just went on Facebook? No, she's not
she
known.
Went on, I don't know if she went on Facebook. It just came across, it was on Instagram. Because it was, the first video was of her catching her husband, you know, at the airport in the lounge with the other woman.
Right. So
that just kind of.
You're going to have everybody looking up this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First, only Gail I know is, what, Gail King? That's Oprah's friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the only one I know.
That when she asked me, you hear the Gail, I'm thinking about, I'm like, Gail King?
Yeah. No, that's why I sent it to you. Speaking of Valentine's Day, Leon, what did you do? Now, let me ask you this. You've been married for a while, right? You know, love Nico to death. I love her. Does the Valentine's Day, the whole, you know, everything, the propaganda, all of the things behind it, do you still have that drive, or is it like once you get married, it's like, she know I love her, you know, I don't need to buy her no flowers to show her my love. I can buy her some flowers on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So you talking,
don't scratch your neck, Lena.
You kind of talking to a screws when it comes to these holidays.
Mm-hmm. So you don't send her flowers to her job, because that's important.
I brought flowers home.
Men need to understand, and I have a, you know,
hey, look, here. You know, people working from home these days.
No.
I bought flowers home.
I have a lot of male friends, and I have one in particular. He's like a brother to me, like Leon. And you wouldn't think he's kind of, you know, kind of a Scrooge, but he understands the value, I would say, that women put on Valentine's Day when you work in an office, right? Yeah, so I would say, what'd you get your girlfriend for Valentine's Day? He says, I bought her flowers and had them sent to her job, because bragging rights, that's just what we do. And I have flowers sent to her at her house, because that's just what we do.
That was his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I brought my home, though. Brought my home. She liked them.
So that's where we at you hear what I'm saying, Larry?
Me particularly, to keep it real, I don't like buying flowers, because they die in 3 days.
Mean for you, dog.
Hey, look, listen.
Exactly.
Listen.
Larry, you get where I'm coming from with this story? I provided, Larry, you understand what I said?
Listen, me and Mo had the same conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a post on Facebook, and somebody had the same conversation about buying flowers. Okay. When I went in the comments, there was a whole lot of women that said they don't like flowers. I felt good. I was like, yeah, so everybody don't like flowers. I'm the type of person, I don't like when, like Christmas, you got to buy gifts for Christmas. I don't like a lot of things that we've just been accustomed to doing all our lives. Mm-hmm. I like Thanksgiving because we get together.
You want to get rid of the whole thing.
But Christmas and Easter and maybe even Valentine's Day, these holidays, to keep it real, I like Christmas because of the activity around family and this and that, but as far
fellowship.
As I don't like when we have to buy gifts for everybody. People be feeling bad because they don't have money to buy gifts for this person or that person. You got everybody going broke, don't really have the money to spend. That's what I'm talking about.
Do you think social media has ruined these particular holidays?
Probably. Social media ruined a lot of things. Social media is good.
They do ruin a lot of things. But I'm going to be honest with you. The trick to all of that is you just got to know the person. You know?
Yeah.
You got to know the person. Like sometimes it's not a flowers thing. It's her favorite dessert thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes it's not a flowers thing. It's her favorite place. It's her favorite concert type of thing. You know what I'm saying? You got to switch it up. Because everybody's doing the same thing. I'm going to get flowers and balloons, all this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
You know, for just me, I like to switch my stuff up a little different. I'll do a home-cooked meal. You know?
That's nice.
I'll do a nice candlelight dinner at the house, and I'll hook it up. You know? Mm-hmm. Do something different. So, but I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, it depends on that type of person. And you're not being cliche with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. So. Not, I don't like flowers, so I'm not buying them.
No, I buy them. I don't like buying them, but I buy them because they die in 3 days. You spend money on some flowers and die in 3 days. I go pick a flower out of a rose bush somewhere. So.
Larry, your friend needs to get your book.
No. He'll figure it out. He doing something right. He got it. He got something. He know his woman. He know his wife. So.
Mm-hmm. It's giving toxic masculinity.
Oh,
over
my
here.
God.
Uh-oh, don't start that right there. God. That's been talking
about
2023.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring that in
24.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over.
Well, what you talking about, Larry? What you talking about, the modified gentleman book? They don't have nothing to do with no relationships and women.
No, it's all about self-awareness and knowing yourself.
Exactly.
But I mean, that one thing leads to the other. Once you learn yourself, and you understand yourself, and then you can start understanding other people.
Right. Get out of yourself so you can understand people.
Definitely.
So. Read that. Listen to the videos.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Watch the YouTube videos. How do you think I know these things?
Right.
You know, the Four Horsemen. Get into it.
Yeah. That's
What is the Four Horsemen?
Four Horsemen of your worst self. And it's a lot of things that people deal with. Things like laziness and fear. And
distraction. Ignorance. Yeah,
things like that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Careful with scarcity. Scarcity, which is number one in the Black community, whether it's men or women.
For real.
Scarcity is huge. We're always
matter scared. Fact,
to- and what you mean
let's
by
rope that around. Let's rope scarcity back around to investing when we started off.
Mm-hmm.
And how that kind of hits our communities pretty heavily. You know, we miss out on a lot of things. Like we go buy a pair of fresh new Jordans and stuff because we think, you know, these are the last ones. They're going to run out, whatever the case may be. And it's like you spend all that money on that. You could invest in something else. Even in the iPhone we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You look at that as something scarcity. Man, they're making the iPhones by the millions out here. There's one come out every month and people still buying them up.
I don't know. I don't think they don't look at it as scarcity. They just look at it as, I got to have this new thing.
That's very true.
And it's trendy. It's scarcity and it's trendy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want to be involved in the conversation.
And it boggles my mind, you know, when you talk about or, you know, people being scared to jump when it comes to investing in different things, especially people with, you know, jobs that offer retirement plans and all of these things. Like they don't know that they're taking money out in that 401k, but it's investing. You know, if we look at our 401k during COVID, if you watched it, a lot of people didn't watch it. Some, you know. I watched mine dwindle down.
Yeah.
Right. And it, eventually came back up. But you're doing the same thing, right?
Yeah,
where you're investing in your future with hopes that you make enough money, you're contributing enough money, and how you haven't invested with that target date, you know, 25 years, 64 years, you're hoping that it will set you up so that you don't have to work anymore. Right. But wrong investment. Or, you know, if your target date isn't right or your disbursements, you know, within that, you know, how your contribution is invested, it can be something wrong where that stock drops and your money.
Hey, look, I ain't trying to put you on the spot, though, but do you know what your company is, what stocks your company is investing in your 401k?
I have to take a look. I don't know off the top of my head, but it's doing very well.
Well, just take a look at some of the businesses that they're putting your money in. Just check it out and see.
Normally, I disperse it myself. So I'm the type that I will take it and I do my own target date and then I disperse it. A lot of times it's foreign.
Right.
So okay. I do that. yeah. So I'm not just throwing it in there and like, hey, you do it. No, I disperse. I do my own percentages myself.
Okay.
That's like how I knew I saw it dip during COVID. And I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I have a lot with one company and I've only been with this company for, you know, a year and a couple months. So we're just getting here. But when I was with, you know, and I can say it because I'm no longer with them. When I was at IBM for 13 years, that's, you know, actually as a whole, because they acquired mine. So I would say a total of 16 years. That's where the bulk of it was, because it was, I had older stock when they, it was acquired by, so I had the Merrill Lynch. And then when Merrill Lynch was bought by Bank of America, and then I had that. And then when my company, which was a subsidiary of Merrill Lynch and Bank of America, was purchased by IBM. So, and then it just trailed and came along.
Gotcha. So, gotcha.
You got to watch your money. You got to watch your money.
Yeah, you definitely do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm going to say, one thing I would say to people about investing, this is when we first started this whole conversation, we were talking about investing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about mindset and having like a short-term plan, long-term plan, your long goals. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with the money? Blah, 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 blah. How it always starts with mindset. I think for a lot of people, they really have to understand that money is just a tool.
Yes.
Money is just a tool to build whatever you're trying to build. If you want to build a better life, you want to retire, you want to buy a house, whatever the case may be. And we got to get out of the mindset of just working for money itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand that you're working to use this money for something else to move forward.
Right.
And so I think that's something big we got to really talk about, you know, in our community, in the Black community, because we look at money as just the end all be all.
Right.
And that puts us behind the curve, because money is just there to build the dreams that you want to make the reality and live the life that you want to live. But if you're just focusing on money, you're just living for paycheck to paycheck, you're gonna be stuck in that. So what I'm saying is, when it comes to investing, developing a mindset, a good book to read is The Psychology of Money. And it breaks that down to where it's not, money is just an object. It's just a tool. It's a concept. It has no actual real value in the life that you want to live. And it's just something to get you to the next step. And you just got to learn how to use it. If you can stop looking at money as just, you know, this ultimate object to gain, it changes your whole outlook on things.
My grandmother say money is nothing but a means of exchange.
I mean, definitely true. Yeah. Definitely true. No matter how you, whichever way you slice it, it's a transaction.
Yeah.
And you're using that money.
But we do need it now.
Huh?
We do need it.
Say that again.
I said we do need it.
You need it to get somewhere else. That's right. All it is. That's all it is.
Yeah, but also to live, right? So
but that's what
additional
that is.
Additional helps you get somewhere else, but it, you know, helps you live. My grandfather, he used to say a penny turns into a dollar, because every time I would be with him, he would see a penny on the ground. He would pick it up. You know, most people, they just walk right past it.
That's old school.
But he would say, oh, no, nay. Penny turns into a dollar. And I'm going to be honest, I took that with me. I see something, I'm like, oh, I'm going to pick that up. It don't matter. It turns into a dollar. I always remember that. A penny will turn into a dollar. And then, you know, do whatever with it. But I'm big on experiences. So, you know, I don't, you talk about generational wealth and all of those things, which are great, right? And I look at that towards my nieces and nephews, you know, my goddaughter, that's great. You know, I have that. But, you know, what is earning money and working so hard if you're not going to enjoy the fruits of your labor? So why not travel? Why not do something with that money, right? So you can, you know, remember those experiences. Because when you know, we, heaven forbid something happens, what do you have? Like, the kids and everything have money to live, but what experiences and memories did you create with
that? There are people out there that are so rich that all they have is money. You understand what I'm saying? All they have is money. They don't have nothing else. They don't have friendships. They don't have bonds. They don't have connections. They don't have memories. They don't have experience.
Don't have peace of mind.
They don't have peace of mind. Exactly.
No.
Not all of them.
You feel me? Like, don't get caught up in that hustle, that grind. And, you know, the Black community has a grind culture. They have a hustle culture. And it's all about, I got to get to that dollar. I got to get to that this next paper. I got to get this bag.
Right. Whatever. Systematic issues drove us to that, right? Yeah. We've always been behind on, you know, with everything, you know, the value of a dollar. You know, we've never we've never quite benefited from it, if that makes sense, right?
Nope.
Workplace, education, you know, even our neighborhoods and everything, we've never benefited from the full dollar.
Yeah.
So the hustle culture has been in us because we're trying to keep up, or, you know, we're trying to get close to or next to, you know, the other nationalities that are gaining more, or, you know, where they benefited from the full dollar.
Yep.
One thing about that, we're never going to catch up. So a lot of people say we got to catch up. We ain't going to ever catch up. But the thing is, like, it's plenty of ways now to make money.
Yeah.
Money, right, Larry? Money.
Money.
plenty of ways to make money.
Yeah.
And we ain't gonna never catch up. So that's one thing we gotta stop saying. We gotta catch up now. You know, a lot of people talk about reparations, and which they probably ain't ever gonna give to us. No, we had that conversation, Larry, about reparations.
Yeah.
Some people don't think they should give it to Black people because they say we'll mess up the money. We'll mess it up, throw it away.
It is a mindset thing.
Some people say it's different ways they should give it to us. Mm-hmm. But we will never catch up. You know, but I always say there's so many ways to make money. Do your best to make money. And even if we won't catch up, you put yourself in a better position to live.
And I mean, I agree with that. My only issue is the fact that individually, we're doing good. But that doesn't count as a whole, you know?
Right?
It doesn't count. You know, I mean, there's tons of multimillionaire people in the Black community, but we still struggle as a whole. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So
I agree with
it's
that.
It's a mindset thing. We gotta get on the same page. So that's why I say when we're looking at money, you know, we gotta have. If we were on the same page as far as money and we could pull it together, unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Why do you think?
Because we were born with the mindset of, you know, crabs in a barrel.
Yeah. We're still fighting that stuff. But I mean, I think there's still hope for tomorrow. Of course, I'm not counting my people out. You know, it's just, it gets frustrating at times when you're on the outside looking in and you see like there's so many things that need to be fixed, need to be corrected. And we struggle. Well, we don't struggle. We fight to keep the things that are detrimental to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess that goes along with the whole Gail Lewis and her husband situation. He had enough disposable money, right? But he didn't do anything positive with it. He used it for negative.
The money wasn't the issue in that. The money allowed him to do the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It allowed the bad behavior. It was we didn't hear about that man donating to, you know, and maybe he has secretly, I don't know, but nothing's came out. Like, I did this charity, I've donated here, you know, Big Brothers, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of money to do that though, what he did.
He used his money.
I know homeless people cheating.
For very true. He used his money for that. And it's like at some point in time when you said Black people, we need to change our mindset. That's going to be hard because with money, you have that ability to do whatever you want because
it's a tool. I'm telling you, it's a tool to build whatever type of life you want to live. That's what it's for. This whole conversation is an awesome Black history conversation for sure.
Yeah.
We touched on a lot of topics here. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
that. Definitely get into the systematic issues dealing with money and, you know, Black men and Black women and, you know, a lot of the things that's kind of holding us back and continue to hold us back. It stems from money. Reparations is real. I believe it.
Yeah.
Now, what we do with that money, to me, it shouldn't matter. Why would it matter if somebody is giving you something back that's owed to you because it was stolen and they're giving it back to you, why does it matter what you do with it?
Yeah, it's a couple different communities.
I think it matters.
You're gonna buy hookah? I mean, not to say anything bad, like you're gonna kill a person or whatever, but you know, if they want to buy a club and a strip club on every corner with their money.
What David Chappelle said when he talked about reparations, everybody gonna have Cadillacs. I mean,
but there is a couple other communities that did get their reparations. I have to
find that. That's true. That's true.
Would you look at them differently? Cadillac, they bought a Tesla. Would it be, you know, that would be more eco and environmental friendly and more smart with your money than buying a Cadillac? I mean,
I mean, thinking about things in the long run, like, I mean, hell, if let's say hypothetically, they gave us reparations, something should be mandated that we take like one third, each person take one third of that. And I don't know, create like some type of fund that would, you know, move the betterment of our people going forward.
You know? But why would you expect something different, but wouldn't expect the same thing from, you know, people of other races?
Because they didn't have the same.
White people wouldn't put those expectations on their people if they were receiving some form of reparations.
They will
put it up. It's the trust thing. And that's where that's in. I think Black, you know, it's like, I think if Black people were to get reparations, you know, I think it should be, you know, stipulations behind it. You would never hear that from a white person.
They don't have to. That's why. They don't have to. They don't have to put stipulations on their own stuff.
But, you know.
I guess on us Blacks, exactly. Is that one how to spend money?
Exactly. Like, we don't know what to do if once we get some money. I mean, we have a couple.
Yeah, okay. Look at this as a stipulation. Let's say reparations is available, but you have to take a financial course or something to receive your reparations. Is that bad?
I like that.
Why?
No, I'm just saying.
Why would I have to? Like the Nazis and all of those, and you know, people that are receiving money, you don't hear, well, you have to take a first time, you know, homeowners class or a first time banking class, or you. No, just give them the money and just let them do.
And you're right. There are people who would, you know, the same thing you're saying now would dispute that. But what I'm saying is, you give somebody a whole bunch of money that's never had a whole bunch of money, doesn't know how to use a whole bunch of money, then not a lot of good stuff is going to happen. And I'm not saying with everybody. There are some people who will make, you know, good, well, decisions with their reputation. But
what bad could happen, I think, with if as long as you know what to do with your money.
I'm like, hey, ball out.
If we ball out with reparations,
then we'd be back in the same spot.
Look,
that would be their issue, right? That would be their problem. It's the same thing that happens. What's any different than somebody who grew up in the hood, never had any money, and all of a sudden got drafted into the NBA? They don't have to take financial classes to receive this money. They get the money. They, you know, in some you think they would, others do better. You know what I mean? But there's no stipulations behind that first check. It's like, here, and you do what you may with that check.
Right, right. And to add to that, they've actually not too long ago started certain programs in the NBA that are helping rookie players manage their money better and make better financial decisions. Those are things that. Okay, for the Black community, there's so much things that we just have not had exposure to. And I think that plays a huge part on our decisions. So if you say, hey, there's a large amount of money coming in, but there are these financial courses in place that can help you make better money making decisions. Because if you just give somebody a whole bunch of stuff and they don't have the mindset to do it, they're going to continue doing what they've always done. You know,
I wouldn't make it a requirement. I would just make it a here. This is available to you, but I wouldn't make it a requirement because you can still take some classes and still, okay, I'm gonna just take this class, get this money, and I'm gonna go, you know, gamble it off or do whatever. But
yeah, I mean, the type of person that you are, and like I keep saying, money is a tool. The type of person that you are, money will enhance that. Money will make that, like, will blow that up. Like, if you was a cheater before, oh, now you about to cheat three times more now because you got the money to to fund the cheating type of thing, you know. But I think if a person was exposed to just better positive decisions in general, like you can never go wrong if you put things in place that has a progressive nature that says, okay, we want to make better decisions. We don't want to just throw people out there and just let them sink or swim, you know. But I'm just that type of person to where there should be type of things in place to help, especially help us as a whole. Because individual people, I got it. They're going to do their thing all day. But like I said earlier, this, if individual people are doing good, but we're still struggling as a whole, it doesn't count. You know, it doesn't count.
I guess I can see it both ways, but it's like what would be the reason for the reparation payment then again? Because again, you're giving us something, but you're forcing something else in return. So you're saying, I can give you this money, but you got to take these, you know, these different classes. The whole reason for reparations is because we were held back.
True.
It's like you're doing it again.
True. But the held back stuff always also held us back mentally. Like that was a part of it. You know, like, it's just, like I said, it's all about exposure. If you can expose somebody to a better life, better well-being, a better quality of life, why not? You know?
Well, look.
And plus, if there was a stipulation about taking a financial course, that doesn't mean you're not going to get all your money. You're going to get your money, but this will also help you to understand how to use your money. You know, like if you expose, you're like, oh, you can buy some land. You could, you know, start a fund or whatever the case may be, you know, but just to make that available.
I say this right here. I don't think we'll ever get reparations. Maybe not in our lifetime, but all the things I see today, and I wish I would did a long time ago, was invest.
Yeah.
A lot of people making money through investments. I don't know if you don't make them through stocks, investing in some type of company or some, there's different ways you can invest. You have real estate, you know, you got stocks. You start your own company. There's different things you can do. And if I would have knew what I knew now,
I've been. You would have took your money, flipped it, and did something different.
I bought a brand new car. Maybe when I was 30. Brand new. I didn't know no better though. But you know, most people say buy cars that's 4 and 5 years old. You know, I bought a brand new car the same year it came out.
But if you look at you look at the billionaires out there, man, they driving Honda Civics, man.
Oh yeah,
like they're not out here driving Lamborghinis.
Because once again, us, we want to show what we can buy and get.
I'm just saying, don't be quick to get that Tesla.
Renee, when I say that, don't get me wrong. If most people, I know a few people who don't have the money to do some of the things they do or say they don't have the money.
Right.
Go buy certain things and be broke. And then you look at them like, why you broke? Why you got this? You know, some people buy these fancy cars and can't afford the maintenance on them.
That is very true. That is very true. I feel like people look at me and when I pull up in my car, they're like, whoa, I didn't think you drive that. And I'm like,
Wait a minute. Speaking of that, did you ever get your new car?
I ordered it. It's not here yet.
Look, she said Larry, she said she ordered. So you know what that means, though.
Uh-oh. Is it gonna drive itself there?
No.
Okay.
No. But for real, I think I think black people, and we're not black people, just people in general, you know, they get a person, they see a person, and it's the level of expectation of you should be showing off, right? And then, you know, I'm cool beans. And then I pull up in my little Camry. I'm like, hey, y'all. And they're like, whoa, you drive that? Yep.
So you learn something. Yeah,
we have a...
You living like other people.
What did I hear? I heard it maybe sometime last year. Somebody coined the phrase, the liability flex. And that's where you, you know, you're showing off all this stuff that doesn't give you any ROI. No return on your investment, whether it be a car, some shoes, some clothes, some jewelry, it's none of that. It's all pointless.
That is true.
But it is some people who if you, I do agree, if you can afford to do it, there's no problem with it. But most most people that I know really can't afford to do that, but they do it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. If you can afford to, if you can afford the nice things that you like, then please, like, you know.
And be comfortable. Like, don't be complaining yourself about no bills or I had to spend this, I had to do that.
Yeah.
Gotta, I mean, things up. I had the luxury car, sold it, made some money, you know, during the whole COVID era of when they was buying used cars at, you know, crazy amounts because, you know, supply and demand was crazy. Mm-hmm. Had my little 1 year driving it, was like, okay, because I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not, I don't have a commitment to a vehicle. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not,
yeah,
I don't, oh, I don't need this car or whatever. I was just like, oh, let me look at it. Somebody kept telling me, I sold my car. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Let me look at what my payoff is and let me go on CarMax.
You told me that whopping number.
I was like, let me go on CarMax and see how much they're going to buy my vehicle for. You know, listen, they sold me, and I said, oh, yeah. I said, I did sold. They came and got it 9 a.m. the next morning. That's how quick it was. It was like, oh, I have no commitment. I don't have car commitment. Like, even though, you know, you asked me about the car, yes, it's new and I put a deposit down and I built it. But again, you know, it after 6-7 months, me paying, if I get that itch again where I want to go on CarMax and be like, oh, let me see what I can do and sell this car. I'm going to do the same thing. Throughout my life, I probably had like 8 cars in a 3-year time span because I just don't.
Oh, wow.
I just, one of my goddad, he was a finance manager for a dealership in Oregon. So I was just flipping cars. I would literally be at work looking at his car lot or, you know, go to his website on where he worked. I'm like, oh, that's new. I would text him and be like, hey, I want that car. And he'd be like, okay, it would literally be in his driveway when I got off work. And he would just take my car that I had because I just don't have car commitments. I got commitment issues.
Uh-oh. No, don't go there.
Issues. I do.
Hey, I'm just saying, don't go there.
I don't like long-term I don't even like cell phone commitments. Like, you know what I mean? I have my cell phone. I'm not.
And you don't like February 15th commitments either.
Ooh, nope.
Rick, how old are you?
What?
I don't believe in it. See, that's one of the things too. I do not believe in that. I like that.
I am an older, mature.
You are a woman. You are a human. I'm a man. You're a woman. Who cares how old you are?
Anyways,
where did that come from? Don't ask a woman her age. I'm one of the dudes who kind of.
You going to jail?
Yeah, I'm one of those dudes who goes.
Go to jail. Go straight to jail.
You're going to jail.
I'm one of the dudes who go against the grain when it comes to a lot of that stuff. I don't believe in you shouldn't ask a woman her age. Why not?
Bro, you don't even like bringing flowers, bro.
Exactly.
What do you get? Where did that come from? You shouldn't ask a woman her age. Can y'all tell me that?
Your mama didn't teach you that?
It's unwritten.
No. My mom, I think my mama don't mind telling her age, but go ahead.
Larry, he needs to take your courses because.
Man, I'm one of them dudes. I don't.
It's all about gentleman etiquette, man. That's
what somebody tell me where it came from, though. What does it mean? What is so negative?
I'm gonna tell you a secret, though. I'm gonna tell you the way to get around that, bro. What you do is if you don't ask her, go ask her mom. That's how
I might ask her mom how she is.
That's how you do it. That's the secret.
What's your question besides the age?
What you mean? I think I'm glad you said you got commitment issues. I was going to ask you, do you think you ever get married?
I don't know. You know, my dad, you know, may he rest in peace. When I went to his funeral, when I found out he had passed away, went to his funeral, he had 3 of his girlfriends there. And they all knew about me. It was the craziest thing. Yeah.
I don't know where to go with that.
Exactly.
I'm like, what is she about to say?
Exactly. It was very different. It was like, hi, I'm your dad's girlfriend. I'm like, what? Hello, I heard so much about you. And I'm like, who are you? I'm your dad's girlfriend. I mean, different states. One is Seattle. one in Oregon. I mean, two in Oregon, one in Seattle. And it's like,
yeah.
And you know, it's crazy because me and my dad didn't have a, you know, a really, you know, a strong relationship. But one of the women that he actually lived with, her and her daughter, they would come into the store that I worked at, and I would see them all the time, and they would never say anything to me.
Dang.
Until he passed away, and I went to her house to retrieve some of the items that he had left for me. And they were like, oh, you used to work at Fred Meyer's, which is like, what is it here? Harris Teeter's, no, like Kroger or whatever. Yeah. They're like, I used to see you working at Fred Meyer's all the time. Really? All the time. And I remember them.
So your dad's death and him having three girlfriends has to
I think that stemmed with my commitment issues. Okay. I think I got it from him.
Hmm. Okay.
You don't think so, Larry?
What you think about that, Larry?
That's a tough one.
Huh?
That's a tough one.
I mean,
maybe you didn't get it from him. Maybe just you knowing that.
I mean, I'm not a psychologist. I'm a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't. You have trust issues with a man. Put it that way.
I don't know. Okay. I mean.
Hold on.
I don't know.
But one question that we could ask you is, what was your longest relationship?
My longest relationship was probably like 6 years.
I mean, that's
was one of the was that one of the ones who you was engaged with?
No, engaged with, we were together for 2 years, maybe going on three. And then the second one here, we were together for like a year, year and a half.
Men move fast.
They do.
It's two types of men. Cool, men who move fast and men who don't move at all.
And I'm still cool with them. We're all Facebook friends. Like, to me, that's like giving everybody a high five.
Oh. Yeah, that's good. As long as everybody's still happy and smiling.
I comment, you know, they relationships or whatever. One still calls me all the time. Every blue moon, he'll, you know, when are we getting back together? That'll be never. But, you know, I'm still cool. He may call and ask a financial question or whatever. I'll answer it. The other one has, you know, family, and, you know, he's tried a couple times. No, but I'm still cool. I'll heart like, oh, that's cute. I'll do that. Yeah. That's great. Congratulations. I do all that.
Very mature of you.
Cool. I'm very cool. Just don't ask me to release the messages, the DMs. No, I'm just playing.
The receipts.
Hey, when you come and get your haircut, let me see those receipts.
He always want to see some damn receipts.
Let me see those receipts.
I always got a story.
But it's been a good conversation.
Yeah. Well, definitely have to do this again. I was gonna bring one of my homegirls, but she was, you know, she was busy. And we was gonna tag team Larry. But yeah. But hey, you know.
Choose your words carefully.
Give me a heads up.
Give you a heads up. Leon told me not to give you a heads up.
I'm down for it. Throw me in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, throw you in the fire.
I did my research and everything. I was ready.
Okay.
Why don't you leave us, even though, you know, leave us with one of your 50 ideas for self-care, something that we can start over the weekend.
Did you say 50?
He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But see, I actually shared some of that earlier when I was talking about taking yourself out to dinner.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
I think, especially around Valentine's Day, when it's a holiday theme about love, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't look in the mirror. And that's just like, why not? How could you put so much energy, time, and effort into loving someone else when you struggle to love yourself? And so I firmly believe that people should become more self-aware, give themselves that time, that grace to learn themselves. So hell yeah, do something for yourself that you would do for someone special, like plain and simple. And when I say take yourself out to a nice dinner, that's like one of the most basic things that you could do. I'm not saying go take yourself to like buy some extravagant you know, piece of jewelry or something, but start small. Start small, you know. Mm-hmm. Hell, for men, like for me, I just get in my truck and I just go driving around listening to some 90s hip hop. And that's relaxing to me. That's self-care for me, you know. So, as a matter of fact, one of the there are three things that I tell guys to do when I talk about, you know, self-care. And the first thing is the actual self-care portion of it. And that's when you find something for yourself, for you, whether that's, you know, having a nice dinner for yourself, taking a vacation, some time for yourself, you know.
Right.
Go fishing, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter. Go to the gym. Go relax. Do something for yourself that relaxes you. And the second thing I do is I tell guys to find something or do something for your space. Self-care for your space. Like, you know, take care. Because what's the point of going out and you're battling everybody and everyone all day and you come home to a stressful environment? So make sure you clean up your space. Have it to where it's nice, calm, it's relaxing to you, and it's clean. Like, so that way when you get home, you have a nice, clean and ready environment that's just ready for you to do whatever. If you feel like going to sleep, you can go to sleep without having to pick up clothes, without having to wash dishes, you know, things like that. And the third thing I do is I say for self-care is to find something outside of yourself. And that's like finding a charity, finding something to volunteer for, find someone else that you can give your care to, you know, so that makes something bigger than you, you know. So those three things, you know, actual self-care, self-care for your environment, and self-care for someone else. So,
So what made you want to be a masculine coach?
Because I struggled with that my life, my whole life, man. I didn't have a template of what masculinity is. Not a definition. Say that again.
How did you find it? Or did you find it?
Whew, a whole lot of trial and error, man. Whole lot. I made a lot of decisions, hurt a lot of people along the way. That made me stop and realize I needed to make some changes. And that includes, you know, everybody, family, friends, just anyone was collateral damage. And when I say like destructive, like masculinity, it's just things where it's areas where you become selfish or you're not honest, you don't have integrity, things like that. So my definition that I have for masculinity is that masculinity is an energy that a man uses to express himself through his actions, his habits, his behaviors. And I like to sum that up as values, standards, boundaries, and beliefs.
I like that.
That's those four things, like four core principles. And I say that again.
No, yeah, froze.
I thought you said something.
Yeah, froze.
Oh, can you hear me? What was the last thing you heard?
Values.
Rose again.
I know.
Now, I don't tell another man how to be a man. It doesn't work that way. And I mean, no one could do that. Not even someone's father could tell their son how to be a man. It doesn't work that way. They have to be the template, the example. Like they have to give them tips, those tools, those tactics. And so they can use that information to decide what type of man that they want to be. And so when I talk to guys, that's why I talk to them about, okay, what type of man do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as? And what type of man would you like to become? Because I had to go through that. That's the type of journey I went through because I didn't know what men did. I didn't know. We always thought men was just like, you know, I can run fast. I can jump high. I can lift a lot of weight and I sleep with a lot of women, whatever, whatever. Like I smoke expensive cigars. Like we looked at those as basics of masculinity, but those are performative behaviors. And we have to get away from that because that does not define masculinity. That defies someone being an asshole almost, you know, being a jerk, someone who's self-centered, things like that.
When you say you hurt a lot of people, are you, you saying women or just?
Yeah. So
have you ever been hurt? Another question, have you ever been hurt by a woman?
I have. I've been hurt, and in turn, I've hurt other people. Hurt people hurt people, right? That's what they say. So, and not even just like relationship-wise. Like I look at it as far as my children too, because being the man that I was at the time, I was doing damage to my sons because my sons were seeing me not living my values, my standards, my boundaries, and my beliefs because I hadn't defined them for myself. So I couldn't lead my sons into a masculine example if I didn't know what it was myself, you know? And so it was a lot of self-reflection, a lot of soul searching, a lot of things like that. And that's what I want to help men with now. You know, I'm not here to tell you how to be a man. I'm just here to give you some tips on some challenges that I've made it through myself.
Okay. Leon, what are you going to do this weekend to practice self-care?
What's this weekend?
You got to work with Leon.
Probably go get a massage.
Okay.
Hey, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? Then again, I probably won't. That's what I want to do. But if not, I definitely. Well, it's the weekend, so I might not do nothing. To tell you the truth.
Hey, you don't have to.
I work out all during the week, so. Exercise during the week, so Friday and Saturdays, I really don't do nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to church. You going to church?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You singing?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Shooby-doo.
Oh, man.
Shooby-doo.
Well, it's been good talking, y'all. Good conversation. This
has been an amazing conversation. I'm glad I was able to finally meet you.
Hey, I'm glad I met you, too. You're pretty dope.
Y'all probably see each other at the shop one day.
All right.
Last words. That's it.
That it. This is. I mean, taking care of self. That's how we impel forward.
Yeah. In the spirit of Valentine's Day, I hope everybody had a good time, whether solo, individually, as a group, or with a special someone. You know,
yes. So,
hope everybody enjoyed it.
And there you have it. Make sure you go to that stash link.
Yes.
You didn't guess it. Any questions? Ask me. I'm not.
I got you. I'm gonna use a different email. I got you.
All right, when
this gonna set you up.
Yeah, y'all stay on for a minute when I end this. Don't go away. There you have it for another episode of the Impel Fort Podcast. Stay tuned to next week's episode.
Yes.
Peace.